This is almost bringing us to the conclusion of this month that we've been doing, the theme being mission. But as you know, mission is far more than just a visit to the other side of the world. This, it's so important that we're on the same page with it, and so I'm going to rush through a little review because I discovered this morning, as someone walked in and said to me with a wonderfully excited look on their face, "What's happening today?" I said, "What do you mean?" "All the banners and the TV cameras," and I'm like, "Yeah, this is the fourth week that it's been like this." So that's okay. I just realized that there are folk who may be here for the first time, maybe you're visiting, and maybe you're on your biannual visit of Good Life, but really it is a pleasure to have you here, whatever brings you here. But it's important that we contextualize today's message in what we've been talking about this whole month. The Good Life community is simply who we are. But we believe that God has called us to be agents of transformation about His work in this earth. One thing I said that sort of became a catalyst for the direction of this series was that Jesus did not go to the cross. He did not give His life so that we could sit in a 1.5-hour meeting. That is not what the cross was about. Jesus Christ gave His life that we could walk in newness of life, in a transformed life, and in turn live that out in this world. And so we began this series by simply saying that the natural outworking of faith is mission. In 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, it says that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. And God's appeal is this: be reconciled to Him. And therefore our lives should be that cry. And we said that mission is about all of us. It is about both intentionality and walking in purpose. We said that our role is various in nature. We realize it is broad in expression, but it is one in purpose. And that is that people might know God. And then we came into this place where we realized that God has given us a unique expression of this, our first sphere of influence, which is this center, which operates every day of the week, engaging with people, inviting them to find a place in community. And we find there are stories being written every single day in this place, but it's just our first sphere. But what categorizes or what contextualizes that is Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And that says that don't become weary in doing good, because in due season, we reap a harvest if we don't give up, if we don't pull back, if we don't quit. But it goes on to say, as much as we have opportunity, do good to all, especially those of the household of believers, or without saying to our brothers and sisters in the faith. And we realize that all of us are also living in a greater community. And that community is our region. It's the location that we live in. And we realize that it's for all of us, wherever we might be, our day to day. Each of us also know that we're involved in multiple communities, school communities, work communities, social communities, interest-based teams, whatever they might be. But every one of us has the same responsibility to be light and life within that community. We looked at Matthew, where Jesus says that a city on a hill cannot be hidden, and nor does anyone light a lamp and then just hide it under a bowl, but they put it on a stand that it might give light to the whole house. And we realize that that is the call that is upon us. We said this, that it is the way we do life that declares what we believe. Because we can yap on about stuff all day long. We can sing creeds. We can say that we believe this value and that value, but it is the way that we live that will declare what we believe. And this is where you realize that when we are placed in different spheres of influence, whether it be in our day-to-day operation here, people watch the way we interact. Because I can say people matter. And if I don't treat people with respect, if I don't treat them with honor, if I don't defer to others, if I don't honor others, those words, people matter, mean nothing. And we can say that we live in the value that Christ said of forgive one another, love one another, honor one another, serve one another, and yet walk in a bitter, unforgiving, separate way of life. And my words mean nothing. And so we looked at Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 17 of chapter 3, it says this, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, whatever your workplace, whatever your place of engagement, whatever your place of sport, recreation, your home front, amongst your children, children to your parents, in your neighborhood, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And I said last week that we're to be present where we are, not just that, where I am is where I am. It's actually to be in the space, in the moment, being that ambassador, being that light, being that life. And last Sunday night, we had the privilege of baptizing two young men. And each of them very different stories, but each of them so wonderfully illustrating everything that we'd talked about to that point. A young man, Keon, who came to this country wanting to be successful in music and wanting to make his, imprint on our culture. But, in no time just found that he didn't know what he was living for. And he met two girls locally and they said, why don't you come to Good Life? And so he came to Good Life and he ended up coming to the Sunday night gathering. And it was only last month when I was talking about faith. And faith that brings hope and faith that brings life and faith that is a confident assurance in everything we've hoped for, a certainty of those things we don't see. And he said everything in him just cried out and said, I want that. And he came to me after that service and he received Jesus Christ. He surrendered to the Lordship of him. And last Sunday night we baptized him. And all it was just this cry in his heart and two people on location that were just willing to engage him. The other one was a young man named Hayden, and he was sharing his story. And he was, no history in Christian faith at all, no exposure to, Christian principle or church or anything. And he was looking for a job and got hired as a storeman for a company that works in social justice issues, and it is a Christian-based company, and he's just working the floor as a storeman. But he got put next to a young man that I have a lot of respect for, a young man named Ben Woolsey, who's gone through his own struggles but came to a place not long ago of total surrender to Christ. And this young fella, Hayden, gets put next to Ben on the floor, and Ben can't help but talk about what Jesus did in his life. And the journey of Hayden from a deep place of questioning everything to a confident assurance in Jesus was the other baptism last Sunday night. And what was it? It's just people in place doing whatever they've been given to do and shining the hope of Christ. And all of us have a place, whether it is being engaged in something here or being involved in something in our locality and region or having a voice in our nation. And this is where we're headed today, our third sphere of influence. And as these spheres keep expanding, You know, you look at the center and you're like, oh, yeah, I can probably do something in the center. And we look in our locality, our community, our region, we're like, oh, maybe I can do something. And we get to nation and it's like, wow, that's really big. Well, next week we're going to talk about the world. And it can be overwhelming. And some people talk about, you know, having to think about these things as paralyzing. When I see the issues and I see the problems and I see things at government levels and I see things at, you know, behavioral levels, I don't know what to do. I believe that we all have a voice and there's actions that we can be engaged in. This last week we had a memory verse that was Jeremiah 29 verse 7. But I want to bring that into the context of a couple of verses before. In Jeremiah 29 beginning in verse 4, it says this, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those that I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage, and they too may have sons and daughters, increase in number, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the place that I've carried you into exile. And pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. If it goes well for the place in which you live, it'll go well for you." And what Jeremiah is speaking to them is this: be engaged in the place that you're going for good. This is the same exile that if you read the book of Daniel, you find that there are young men who were identified as young men of great ability, who were schooled in all the ways of the place and the nation that they went to. And in their presence in that place, they rose to great influence that actually changed the direction of kings, rulers, and a nation. When God places us somewhere, He places us there for a purpose. And I want to parallel that to the way that we live. We realize that we live in a fallen world. We are in exile right now from the place that God eventually will restore, a new heaven and a new earth. But right now we live in a place of brokenness that we are exiled to. But the sad thing is that often in this, we retreat and we disengage. We're not engaged with our culture. We're not engaged with government. We're not engaged with arts, with media, with education. We just sort of pull back and we, if we're not careful, end up creating little, and not to be offensive, but we create little Christian ghettos. And we just want everything to be Christian. We just want our entertainment to be Christian. And we just want the people we hire all to be Christian. And we just want all our employers to be Christian. And we just want all our places that we shop to be Christian. And we don't have to contact anything else that might somehow influence us. Number one, I think we miss the power of the Holy Spirit within us to influence more than we are influenced. And God has called us, I believe, to have a place, to have a voice, not to be disengaged, but like He said to Israel in exile, be engaged and live for the benefit of where He has placed us. He says, until that time that I restore you to your land, live for the good of where I've placed you. And I would say this, I believe we have a responsibility that while we are awaiting that place of total restoration to God, that we live for the good of where He has placed us, that people might know that there is a God who loves them and cares about them and is interested in their good, with that heart cry that says, be reconciled to Him. It is up to us to be the declaration of God in the land that He has placed us. Now I hear people say that, you know, Australia, it's the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. That this is going to be the place of the Spirit's working. But if we're not careful, that becomes just a very abstract idea. That we get to sort of dwell and wait and inhabit, and one day that God's just going to pour out His Spirit and everything's going to be grand in our land. But we actually, I think, miss the point that God works in us and through us. Not just in our waiting, but in our engaging. Not just in our disconnect, but when we connect, that we are the vessels of His Holy Spirit. It's through His work in us that He declares truth. You want to see truth in our land? Let's walk in the truth that His Holy Spirit leads us in. Through us, He declares moral character. Through us, He works the fruits of His Holy Spirit, that there is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And I know we long for those things in our land. But when we begin to live in them and walk in them, we will see them in our land. God's Holy Spirit works in us and through us. Through us, He declares His righteousness. Through us, He declares His power. It's not just an abstract thing. And my prayer is that as we talk through some of these things today, that there will be something in you that might just be stirred, that you go, you know what, I can have a voice in that. I can have influence in that. I can take what God's done in me. I can take what God's given me, and I can have a voice of influence. It's through us He declares His power. God invites us to return to Him, to humble ourselves before Him, to submit ourselves to Him. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says this to His nation. He says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, and they'll pray, and they'll seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways." And turning from their wicked ways is to choose to live differently. Not just our own personal wicked ways, but the ways of our nation, the ways of the world that we find ourselves in. Live differently. Stop identifying with those things, but also stop turning a blind eye to those things. And then God says, "I'll hear from heaven, and I'll forgive your sin, and I'll heal your land." We're called to be active. And there are ways that we can all be engaged in our nation as much as in our homes. There are 8 key areas of influence that I believe we can and we should have a voice in. Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham, which are both names associated with missional development, they came up with 7 areas of influence that when influenced in a godly way can change the direction of a nation. In workplace training, they often refer to these same 7 areas as mind molders or areas of key influence. But I've actually added another. I've added the 8th. So I stand in good company with Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham. But I believe that as we engage with these 8 areas, we can transform culture. And what are they? The first is government. The second is workplace or business. The third is media. The fourth is the arts. The fifth, education. The sixth is family. The seventh is church. And the 8th that I believe is crucial that we engage into is social justice issues in our nation. These areas are not just to be left alone. They're not just civil areas. They're not just secular areas. And this was something that I was talking about last week. We can live in this dualism, this split thinking that there is the sacred and there is the secular, and we should be about the work of God, the sacred, and in doing so, we so often neglect what we would deem the secular. But when we do everything to the glory of God, everything that we put our hand to becomes sacred. And this is why when we're engaged in these areas, we can see transformation. And every one of us have a voice. And this morning, I thought better than just listening to me talk about this, that I actually would grab some people who are engaged in these areas. The first I want to invite is Tony Moore. And Tony is a local politician who runs as an independent candidate. But as he comes, I want you to just listen to these verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, says, "First of all, then, I urge you that supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high position, that we may lead a good, peaceful, and quiet life, godly, dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." And then in Romans 13, it says this, and it references us. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God." And so, welcome, Tony.
Thank you.
But I got just three simple questions for you. You involved in politics, why do you do what you do?
It's a very long story. I'll keep it really short. The best way to explain it is the story of the Good Samaritan, really. And there were three choices there, or three different types of people. There was an injured person, someone who was in great need. Two people just walked on by, walked right around them. It tears my heart, and I'm just someone who can't take one more step further without doing something about it.
Yeah. That's what moved you into this political arena, into this sphere. What have you seen as the fruits of your engagement in this?
Look, one of the things that stands out when I think about it was in the last federal election, you get to sit down with lots of different ministers, federal ministers, and talk about things. I sat down with one federal minister and his wife, and over the course of about 3 hours over a cup of coffee, we talked about many things, their heartaches, the whole lifestyle and the ugliness of politics. And in that moment, I was able to speak life into their world. I was able to talk about Jesus and speak the truth. And it touched them. And we cried, we laughed, we drank lots of coffee. And it's those moments, those contact points. They're not grand. No one ever knows about them except everyone in this room. But no one ever knows about them. But it's those contact points that we make in whatever sphere that we're actually in.
Yeah.
And for you, it might be school. It might be a mother's group. It might be in a workplace. It might be right here, right now. And the people you talk to in those few minutes that you have to chat, it's those contact points that we get to share. And the nature of God is revealed as it is in heaven on earth through the way in which we interact.
Now, most of us sitting here would say we're never going to get to go and sit with those politicians. We're not going to go and walk the halls of Parliament. We're not going to go and really be able to sit with state members even. So my question is, what would you encourage, looking at this room, what would you say our role is? How can we engage and have a voice in our nation?
Silence is not an option. The devil wants us to be silent. He wants us to be scared to speak out, scared to stand next to somebody and say, "I'm backing them." The first thing you can do is identify politicians in your sphere, in this area, in the region, Queensland, whether they're senators. Identify ones that represent your beliefs and what you believe and support them. You can do it very easily by just following them online on Facebook or following their Twitter or engaging in conversation, letting them know publicly on their page what it is that you want. But I see politics and issues that we all come across, like the story of the starfish all washed up on the beach and the little girl standing there throwing a starfish in. And for every one she puts in, five get washed back up. And an old man comes by and says, you know, you're fighting a losing battle. Everyone you throw out, five keep coming back. There's so many things here that need attention. There's so many issues that we need to face. And it is overwhelming. Mm. But what happens is she picks up one and she says, well, it makes a difference to that one. Mm. And if we all get down on the beach, it makes a massive difference.
Right. Wow. That's well said. I'm wondering if we can just join our hearts, and I want to pray for Tony, but then I also want to pray and we join our hearts together, because prayer is an incredible tool that we are given. God invites us to approach Him, to bring our requests before Him, and He says that He'll hear us from heaven and He will respond. So Tony, let me just pray for you. Father, I thank You that You have raised up men and women like Tony who are willing to enter into this area of influence in our land, to have a voice in government, to have an influence in the political arena, to have a voice for righteousness, for goodness, for justice. And Father, I pray that You would give him wisdom and You would give him favor. For others, Lord, that we know also walk in this arena, for Fiona Simpson, for other local members, Lord, for our state government, we pray that righteousness and goodness would prevail, that You would give them discernment, that You would lead them by the work of Your Spirit. And Father, we want to pray for our national leaders. God, for Tony Abbott, we pray for him today. We pray that You would bless him and that You would keep him, that You would make Your face to shine upon him and be gracious to him, lead him. God, may the tenets of his faith truly be the pillars of his life. God, for Bill Shorten, as the leader of the opposition at this time, God, I pray that You would speak to him. Lord, for their cabinets, Lord, for the front bench, for the back bench, for all those who surround them both, Lord, we pray that You would bring wisdom and goodness and righteousness to prevail. And Father, for each of us, I pray that we would be a voice of influence, a voice of encouragement, a voice that builds up and doesn't just tear down. And give us wisdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you thank Tony with me? Thank you so much. And there are many here that would be involved in the sphere of the marketplace or the business world. And there are those that we think, you know, business is just there to either, you know, rake us or to serve us. But there are those who are walking in the business and marketplace sphere with just a huge desire to have a voice of influence. And I'm going to invite Steve and Jeffs to come. And as he comes, I'm going to read a couple of passages. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9 says, whoever walks in integrity will walk securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in very much, and one who is dishonest in very little will also be dishonest in much. And Deuteronomy 8, beware lest you say in your heart, it's all about me, it's my power, it's my might, my hand that's gotten me this wealth or gotten me to this place. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it's He who gives you the power to gain wealth, that He might confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers. And so, Stephen, I welcome you. And I ask you the same questions. As the really CEO of Everything Network Communications, as a man of influence in this nation, what was it that led you to do what you do?
Look, for me, I think being in business is very much about being a call of God, just as much as anyone else who might serve on staff here full-time every day of the week. myself and a whole lot of other people in this room get to serve God in the business realm every single day and lead amazing groups of people. And I guess for me, the story of Moses resonates. And you have this situation where Moses is before the rulers of his time in Egypt. And God simply says to him to take what he has in his hand. And for him, it was a staff. And, yeah. And look, for me, it's a mobile phone. And for you, it might be, you know, you might be a bricklayer or a builder. It might be a hammer or a saw. Or it might be a syringe as a nurse or whatever it might be. You take those things that God has given you an ability and a skill, and a craft in, and you use them for His glory on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Now, you're involved as you waved around in mobile phones and in that area of business. But that, having grown over the last 22 years, what have you seen the fruits of that? What would you say, you know, from this little store that began in the back of a, you know, car yard to a national influence today, what are the fruits that you've seen at, let's say, a national level?
Yeah, I scratch my head that I have the privilege to be able to lead a team of people who are serving around the country. And, you know, we have 55 stores around the country. We work with Optus. And as Tim said, we started 22 years ago in one shop and had the privilege of being a part of that that journey. And, you know, I'm a guy. I didn't even pass school all that particularly well. And, you know, they used to call me two at school because I got 2 out of 10 in a spelling test. And, you know, and here I am. I have the privilege of being able to lead a whole lot of people and making a difference for the kingdom of God in every single day. But, you know, I think as far as influence goes, it starts right here wherever my office is and the team that I have around me and doing life with the people who are there every single day. It's the, you know, over 80,000 customers that we serve every single month that, we have the opportunity to speak into their lives because their mums and dads, their grandparents and their students and their people who are doing life and walking through tough things as well. And we have the opportunity to be there and be light in their circumstance. And also, I guess for me, the privilege I have is to be able to walk the corridors of an organisation like Optus and be able to speak with state managers and senior leadership team members and CEOs of that organisation and try and speak life and hope and, you know, maybe just some of those words that are spoken get to influence the culture of that organisation as well. But wherever we serve, whatever it is we've got in our hand, we have the opportunity to be able to influence and change people's lives.
Okay, so again, like with Tony in the halls of Parliament, not many of us are going to get to go to the Optus headquarters and sit with the CEOs, but what would you say to other businessmen and women who are here in their space of influence?
Look, there's doesn't matter where you serve. So you may be an employee. You know, you may not necessarily own your own business, but you have the opportunity to serve those who lead you and do it with the utmost of your ability and to honour them as you go about your job on a day-to-day basis. You may only have a team of one, you know, maybe a husband and wife set up, or you may have a team of 5 or 6 or even hundreds. It doesn't matter. Those same principles at play, you've got to honour God in the workplace. You've got to walk with integrity and honesty and truth and justice and mercy every single day. So the principles don't change. It doesn't matter how many people you've got that you might be serving with or who follow you. Those principles stay true.
That's so good. Stephen, thank you. Before you go, I'm just going to ask, if you are involved in business, whether you are on your own, whether you have a small company, you might be a tradesman out there with just a little startup, or you may have national influence. I know there's a number of you here who do. I'm going to ask you to just stand because I'm going to ask Stephen to just pray over you because we all have a place. Would you please?
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege it is to serve you in no matter what we do. Thank you for every gift, for every ability that is within this room. Those God-given gifts, those God-given abilities, those things that you've placed in our hands to use to serve you in your kingdom. Father, to see that redemptive work of Christ proclaimed throughout this nation, throughout the communities we serve.
Yeah.
And Lord, for each person here in business, I pray that you would give them the strength and the courage to show up day after day to do the things that you've caused them to do. Father, I pray that you would prosper their hands. And Father, that you'd give them great influence in the spheres that they're called to. And Father, that your name would truly be declared through business in this land, in this nation that we serve, for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Would you thank Stephen with me, please? A part actually that follows on very closely along with Stephen and the whole network communications operation is the beginning of the Australian Christian Channel, the ACC, which functions here on our land. The vision for that some 25 to 30 years ago, when there was very little Christian influence in the media in this land, they had a vision to really become the underwriters to see that happen. And that continues to happen to this day. In fact, I just read a wonderful email that that came in to Russ and Helena Madden, who are sitting over here, and they run and have developed a program called Go Frills, which is really aimed at children and family, but it fits so well with these verses that are on the screen there, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Proverbs 12, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Those who act faithfully are His delight. And I read an email that you guys got about your program, and it was just because it was on the Australian Christian Channel, which is on the Foxtel and on Austar and national networks. And their program touched a local family whose child was often traumatized by what they saw on television. And since finding it, they've recorded, I believe, and watched every program. They took their daughter, who's troubled, out of school, brought her down here last Friday to be a part of the live show that happens here, to engage with Russ and Helena. And, you know, and it was just such a beautiful thing to read this account of how goodness and righteousness and those things which are good and pure and valuable became peace to this child and in turn to this family. And so, you know, we all have a voice in media. I just recently had to contact Channel 7 and Sunrise. I'm a news freak. I have it running most of the time. But something came across the Sunrise show that I just went, are you kidding me? There's no way that should be on at this time of the morning. There's no way that, you know, that singing, that dancing is appropriate for kids. No way. So, you know, I immediately rang them and they just went, well, we can't really do much. You've got to put it in writing. That becomes more of a hassle. How do I find where to write? Well, you've got to look it up on this website. So I have to go to this website, look it up. But eventually I found it and I wrote a letter and they must respond. I mean, most of the response was, I'm sorry you feel this way and that you have a problem like that, was sort of the way it came back to me. But we still have a voice that can be heard that is a voice for good, for what is honorable, for what is valuable, for what is right. And I would really encourage you to use that voice. But very closely associated with media is the whole thing of the arts. And I've invited Rod Hopping to come. Now, Rod is founder and also, again, CEO of Heritage Film Distribution. Now, Rod has just celebrated the 10th anniversary of Heritage Film Distribution, but I know there are many others here involved in the arts at some level, and we're going to pray for you all in just a moment. But Rod, again, I ask you, as I've asked the others, why are you involved in the arts, in film, in distribution?
Because I really feel that it's what God wants me to do. It's my job here on earth. And that came about through a niggle in my formative years around film and around the power of story, leaning in with all those lads, with Mr. Keating and Dead Poets Society, to hear him say, make your lives extraordinary. Mm. Hearing a line in Schindler's List like, whoever saves one life saves the world. Mm. Stuff like that would move me so deeply and would get me thinking about my own life and how I can save one life. And so it kind of turned into a niggle that got a bit out of control. And I had to just address it, you know. And have you guys got something that you're scared to do? It was that kind of question, but then it became that I was too scared not to do it, hey. And so I gave the less scared thing a go and started this, you know, bringing films, I guess, into the country that kind of we want to distribute hope more than we want to distribute movies, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I love your statement that goes with Heritage Films that just says movies change people, but people change the world. So what would you say some of the fruits of your endeavor have been, and that I guess will lead us to the moment you're standing in?
Yeah, I think when you've got a passion, like, you know, it's about influence, and because the influence that we've got is a story, and the power of the story to nudge people towards God. Just that, I don't know about you, but I need nudging all the time in my life. If I don't get a nudge, I'm going backwards in terms of that traveling with God business. And so we want to be as influential nationally as we can. We want to be in mainstream markets as much as we can. I mean, at the moment, we have two movies in the top 20 on iTunes under the family category. That to me is influence, and I celebrate that. That's an incredible opportunity to be a part of, you know, media consumption. We just released a movie in cinemas on Thursday. It's in 100 cinemas, so it's spread around the country. It's called Freedom, and that's an incredible opportunity. You know, my story is a bit like Stephen's. I'm not an educated dude. In fact, I don't feel like I've got the abilities to do what we do. I need to be available, I guess, every day. Sometimes I don't want to, but you know, it's a never give up business that we're in. And so, yeah, that's probably, for us, it's about the influence, yeah.
And the meeting place of arts and media this week, and there's a little clip that's worth you seeing, was quite a lot of discussion about this film, Freedom, on the Sunrise Morning program.
A group of Australians is responsible for a new movie about one of the most significant chapters in American history. Freedom tells the story of two men separated by 100 years, a slave and a slave hunter.
They're gonna beat us again. They're gonna put the collar to us again. Faith.
Oscar winner Cuba Gooding Jr. leads the cast, but the film was backed by Aussie investors and has an Aussie director. It's released next Thursday, just 2 days before the UN's International Day for the Remembrance of Slave Trade and its Abolition.
Now, that said, it releases next Thursday. It released last Thursday, right? So you need to go, and I would encourage you, go and support that. Be a part of that, but not only Aussie financing, Aussie directors now, and Aussie distributor, and fully involved in all of this. So, again, we don't all get to hang out with the likes of Peter Cousins and, you know, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s, etc. So what voice would you say to other artists and musicians and filmmakers and designers and writers and all of those artisans, what would be your voice to them?
I'm passionate about story, and you guys are all distributors. You've all got this mobile phone and this social media stuff. You can actually choose how you present your story and actually what content you transfer and distribute through social media. It's very powerful. So I would encourage you to keep telling the greatest story of all in creative ways, not boring, staid, you know, yawny kind of ways. Find the creativity that God's placed in all of us and let it loose, you know, just... And for me, it's I'm doing what I do because I answered the question, I think, what do I love? And so, what do you love? What is it that you love? I don't think we have to talk too hard about the fact that maybe God's put that in you and let it get out. It might be that you want to paint or sing or dance or whatever. Let it get out is probably my encouragement.
That's such a great word, let it get out. If you are an artist involved in the arts, in the expression of anything at all, music, design, print, paper, you're a drawer, you're a dreamer. I want you to stand because Rod's going to pray over you guys now. Don't hold back, because if you are sitting there going, well, I'm not really an artist, you are denying the gift that God has planted within you. I'm going to be that blunt. If you are sitting there going, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not, forget that. I'm going to read you the two passages that were up there. Exodus 28 and verse 2 says this, and God's speaking to the craftsman, craft priestly garments for Aaron for glory and for beauty. For glory and for beauty. In Exodus 31, God speaks this and says, I've chosen these artists. I've filled them with the Spirit of God, with skill, with ability, with knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic design for work in gold, silver, bronze, cut stones, work in wood, engage in all sorts of craftsmanship. Why? For glory and for beauty. Rod, would you pray?
Father, I just feel right now the prayer over this group of people is to be courageous, yeah. Father, to rise up and to just push aside fear. Yeah. God, in the creative space, it's kind of scary. The fear of failure exists and we compare ourselves to others. We kind of keep looking so up the ladder, Lord. Help us right now just to realize you've placed us in a good spot on the ladder. You've given us a dream. You've given us resources. You've given us creativity that is a direct reflection of our creative God.
Yeah.
Lord, help it to come out. Help us to just take that next step, just that one next step, because you faithfully light up the path. You promise you will, and you are a faithful God. So for these people, Lord, instill courage, yeah. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Rod, thank you. So good. Yeah, the whole area of education, I'll move quickly through these. We've talked about these in local terms, but education in our national sphere is important. But it's up to us in education to be involved. If you're in uni, if you're in school, if you're on campus, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an assistant teacher, whether you are a chaplain or a campus worker, Ecclesiastes 7:12 says this, "For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it." And education is an area that we should have a voice of righteousness in, of value in. And if you're involved in those arenas, do not be afraid to use your voice, to use your influence. And so I'm going to ask anyone that is involved in education at all, if you would stand. Father God, Lord, you said that we were the ones that were to raise our children in the way they should go. God, you're the one that says that we should be prudent, that we should be wise. And God, what a gift, what a task you have entrusted these with that are involved in education. And Lord, I pray that they would be courageous and they would be wise. God, that they would have influence on campus, that they would have influence amongst the staffs that they're on, but they too, as educators, would have a voice in this nation. And I pray that from out from under their tutelage, we would see young men and women rise up that would have a voice for righteousness, that because of the influence of these on their lives, the generations to come would be strong, would be young men and women of character. And Father, I pray that you would protect them, that you would nurture their own souls and spirit, that Father, they would always be learners themselves, that they would be diligent and not become weary in doing good. And Father, I pray that they would continue to cherish the gifts that you've given them and impart them. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to thank those who are involved in education, please. We've talked about the importance of family. And what I say to those with children, as I've had my own children, is this: determine the character and the characteristics you want to see in the next generation and live it before your children and model it to your children. Let me say that again. The responsibility is ours. If you want to see characteristics in a future generation, in your children and in their circle of friends, we must be the ones who live that out, who nurture that, who encourage it. We cannot live in laziness in our home and pray that our children grow up to be, you know, diligent and industrious. We cannot live with hidden sin and abuse in our homes and hope that somehow our children are going to grow up confident and free. Whatever we plant, we will reap. And this is so important as parents And children, you got to take to heart the words of the scriptures that say, honor your mum and your dad, that it might go well with you. It's the first commandment, and it comes with a promise. And it says, fathers, don't provoke your kids. And this is the responsibility that we have. And so I'm just going to pray briefly. Father God, please give us wisdom, those who have children, those with foster children, those that care for kids, those who are grandparents raising children. Father, we pray that you would bless them, give them strength. I thank you for the privilege and the honor that you've given us as parents. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the intuition, God, and the wisdom to know what to do. And Father, I pray for children that they would not just be shaped by the world around them, but God, they would be shaped by your word and by righteousness. Declare yourself in us and through us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked a lot about our church and the community that we are involved in and represent in. And we know that Jesus, as the head of the church, has called the whole church. And it's not just Good Life. It is his body across this nation, joined and held together by every joint which is well equipped and each part working properly, that we might grow and be built up in love. And we've got the privilege as Good Life to have a voice in other church communities across this nation. We regularly have people who are visiting, who are coming and asking questions, that are wanting wisdom, that want to know how to engage with community. Why God's done it through us, I don't know. It's not because we're any better or any bigger or any stronger or we've got it together, but we have to be responsible for the voice that God has given us. And right now that privilege, you know, stands with me and the team that are around this place. And I am grateful for that opportunity. But I'm going to ask that you pray for me, because I've got this role of leading the church in this day. And I can't do it in my own strength. Like so many others have said, we don't just stand here and do this because we were taught and equipped how to do it. If you wanted to see all my theological degrees, you'd have to go hunting. And even after you hunted and searched, you wouldn't find them. I don't do this because I've somehow risen through the ranks and earned this place to do it. Somehow, God just called this, I was going to say young man, but not so young man, to be a voice in this day and in this place and in this nation. And we want to join hands with other church communities that want to influence their community for good. And I close with this theme. Social justice is an issue that it can be muddy and vague. And I'm going to invite Sarah to come at this time. In Leviticus, it says this, when a foreigner resides amongst you in your land, don't mistreat them. The foreigner residing amongst you must be treated as your own native born. Love them as you love yourself. You were once foreigners yourselves. I am the Lord your God. Zechariah 7:10 says, do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the traveler, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. And Sarah, I know, has a heart to see justice. Her profession is nursing. But Sarah just has a deep passion for these social justice issues nationally and internationally. But Sarah, question, what moved you?
I think probably first off was having experience in countries overseas where I saw lots of oppression and lots of mistreatment, and then coming home and seeing the blessings that we have here and thinking there's so much we can do and so much we can offer with everything that we've been given. But on an individual scale for me, like I've been overseas and done things overseas, but God keeps calling me home. And I quite often was struggling with, well, how do I do that here? Like, we're pretty blessed. Like, I've got a lot. And And so trying to match that up, and it became a very individual challenge to me in my work. So I work in an emergency department, and when I think about social justice, it's about how we treat people and how we treat each other, and as a group and as a nation, how we allow people to be treated. And so for me, on a personal level, it's going to work every day and reminding myself that God loves everybody with the same equal love, no matter what they're there for. And my job is to love them and care for them all equally, regardless of why they're there, regardless of how they're treating me at the time. And, you know, I don't always do it well, but that's one of the things I work towards. Yeah.
Do you see good come out of taking action on behalf of those that need action taken? Is there good fruit from it?
I like to think that if people can see that it can be done and that you can treat everybody lovingly and with respect regardless, that maybe that gets a bit contagious. And it certainly makes working in that environment a lot easier in some ways if you can still respond in love and kindness and encourage that in your team members as well.
There's a number of things that have been actions that have been taken recently. There's areas that we're dealing with at a national level to do with human trafficking, to do with refugees, to do with elderly and pensions, and there's so many things. But there was one recently that I saw, and it was a petition that I actually got involved in, and it was just a simple thing. At the ECCA this year, there was a ride, and on the outside of this billboard was a woman who was very, very barely covered, and someone just looked at it and said, that's inappropriate for our kids to come and just think somehow that's okay. And so this action was taken to say that needs to be removed, and this petition happened within 4 days. That had to be removed from the ECCA. And these sorts of things are just, they're actions that we can take.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so easy, like we've said a bit this morning, it's so easy to become so overwhelmed when you look out and you see how much stuff is not going the way you would imagine a loving God would have us all treating each other. And so I think one of the biggest things is to really pray about what God's put specifically on your heart and then find out about it. Get involved when you see things coming around. I think one recently was also similar sort of petition was those wicked campers.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen those things?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a similar thing. Like, I've seen those for years and not known what to do about how offensive I found their slogans, and no idea. And just one person started a petition, and within a week, I think the campers have had to put out an email saying they're going to start removing those things. Yeah. So it's absolutely doable. But the trick is not to get paralyzed by how big some of those problems are and just to find your space where you can be involved.
Exactly. So that's what you would say to everyone here is find your space and find your voice and get involved.
Find the thing that makes you really angry because that'll give you the impetus to get more involved in making a change.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Would you just pray for us that we would get that heart.
Lord, I just want to thank you that you give us each an individual call and each an individual thing that we can do and a place where we can be of influence. And Father, I pray that you would help give us wisdom with all the bombarding of all of the sad things and the horrible things that might be happening around us, that we can find those few things that we may be very specifically in place for. Lord, and give us wisdom to know how to best go about bringing change so that our nation can be a nation that represents you. Amen.
Amen. Sarah, thank you so much. And so as I close, what you would have heard from each of these is to get involved. Get involved. And how do you get involved? Number one, and you heard Tony say it, you heard Rod say it, Stephen say it, Sarah say it, is listen for your call. I love what Sarah just said. What makes you angry? Like, what actually do you go, I can't keep seeing that. I can't keep hearing that. Then do something. Listen for that call. What do you feel convicted about? What moves you? Then make your stand. Find how can you take action? A lot happens through social media these days. And next week, and as I'll explain, when we have one service here at 10 o'clock, there will be opportunities to look at every one of these four spheres, ways to engage through the center, ways to engage through the community and local organizations, ways to have a voice in our nation. I've asked Tony to bring a list of politicians that we can have access to if there are issues that we should be involved in. There are opportunities to be involved in social justice things, and there'll be information on ways that you can sign up. You know, there's groups called Get Up, there's groups called Stop the Traffic, and there's all sorts of things that we'd be happy to connect you with. But make your stand. Find out what action you can take. Find your voice. Know where you can make your voice heard. And use the voice. We all have a voice, whether it's electronic voice or a verbal voice. I asked Sarah before, is it okay for Christians to picket? Is it okay for Christians to picket? And she was like, absolutely. I absolutely agree. When there's something worth saying, we might as well say it loud. And everyone agreed. We all just sit quietly like that. It's worth saying loud. Yes, yes it is. And the last one that is so vital is join in prayer. Join with others and pray specifically. This Tuesday night, we're going to get together. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for believers around this world, our brothers and sisters who are in great trial in many, many nations. And we're going to pray for those who are working amongst them. But we're going to pray for refugees upon our own shores and knowing how to minister into their lives. And we're going to pray that God would grant us wisdom as we look at our influence in these four spheres. And I encourage you to come Friday mornings every week. There's a group that prays for revival for our land, but in all sorts of other areas as well. Wednesday mornings, there's a prayer group that meets here. And you can engage with others. Don't just leave it to someone else. God invites you to speak to Him, to ask Him, to bring your requests before Him. There's Lydia prayer groups. There's a prayer group out in Yandina, Mumbai, that meet together. All these will be available with information next week of how you can engage. But this Tuesday night, come along. Listen for your call. Make your stand. Find your voice and join with others in prayer. We can all influence our nation for righteousness, for goodness, that our nation would make an impact in this world. Let's stand together. Father God, thank you, Eve. If you didn't hear Eve, she said that she thought you should all pray for me, and I'm going to trust that that's right.
Actually, why don't Donna, you come up? Thank you for that. I was felt we should get up and pray for Tim, so that was a good call. And if you're part of the Good Life Church here too and serving, then this is for you guys. Father, I want to thank you for Tim and Donna. I thank you as the leaders of our church family here that you brought them across our path. And Father, we just pray right now that you would continue to bless them, that you would keep them and that your face would shine upon them and that you'd give them great peace, that you'd give them great wisdom. Father, thank you for the things that Tim's been sharing over these past weeks. And Lord, they're not just random thoughts that have strung together. They're things that have come from your heart for this place at this time. And Lord, I pray that as he leads us, Lord, that you'd equip him and that you'd give him the ability just to articulate those things that he's just sensing in the days to come. Yeah. And for Tim and Donna, I pray that you bless their family wherever they are in this world serving you. And Lord, thank you for the privilege it is to have this couple leading us in this way for your glory. Amen.
And Father, we want to commit ourselves to you as the body of Christ, as your expression right here. God, we want to be your voice. We want to be your light. We want to be your life. And Father, we do want to see you move in our land. But God, we don't want to just hold it out as some abstract hope. God, we are the vessels of the working of your Holy Spirit. So we invite you, have your way in us and through us. Declare yourself again, we pray. Be mighty in our land. Be mighty in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that you have invited us to come, to lay our request before you, to seek your face, to humble ourselves, to turn from our own self-centered and wicked ways. And God, you said you would come and you would heal our land. And so, God, we commit all these areas to you and pray that, Father, you would stir us, you would move us, glorify yourself. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.